Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Joanne Flynn is going to join us now to talk about how to be more agile and creative in your business decisions. Joanne, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
Wonderful to be here with you this Sunday morning, Glenn.
Yeah. Well, you got your coffee and you're ready to go, right?
Hey, caffeine is a beautiful thing. Very important part of decision making, really.
Perfect. Well, your recent book, Karma, How to Stay Calm and Productive Through the Coronavirus to Recovery. Boy, you couldn't think of a more practical book to have at this point in time than that. Where are we in our thinking about how to maximize our profitability in our lives now that we've sort of all come to terms with the fact that this thing ain't going away anytime soon?
Well, okay, so it's one of the, just a little bit of the backstory on this whole thing is one of the first reactions people go into when stuff like what's just happened happens is we go into fear. And one of the weird things about fear, I can certainly speak, you know, from my own experiences, I don't make the world's best decisions in fear. In fact,
sure.
Decision quality goes way, way, way down.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a whole sort of life backstory that's given me the weird experiences that meant I had to learn that one relatively early on.
Mm.
But when the coronavirus started hitting, like many other people in business, very early on in January, I had my first cancellations from clients. And that triggered a, okay, I've seen this pattern before. And the pattern I'd seen before was when I was running a business in Thailand for PricewaterhouseCoopers through the Asian financial crisis and just the ticking off of people going, oh my God, how do we survive? How do we get through this? How do we manage cash flow? And then what happened was, after a couple of months where the crisis kind of hit this sort of level of, you know, it being really, really weird, was we hit a different stage of going, okay, it's not going away. How do we adjust what we do? We know it's uncertain. We know it's unpredictable. We know the old rules, the old data sets aren't the ones that are going to be valuable in guiding us anymore. So we need to work out how to make decisions in a really different way. And so I was lucky. I'd had the experience.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of
so
people
a
lot of people remember
said,
the Asian
okay.
Yeah, a lot of people remember the financial crisis. A lot of people remember you know, not only 1997 but 2008. We remember last year when the US-China trade war took a big chunk out of many businesses because of the uncertainty and the trade stuff going between those two. So I mean, we are not novices in Asia when it comes to this.
Exactly.
But I will say that I think, you know, the pandemic has put this whole idea on steroids because it's just lasted so long and so deep across so many industries.
And it's going to keep lasting. I mean, when I look at the sort of the bigger patterns of how this kind of crisis plays out, we're looking at a good two more years of it just being stressful, of different sorts of pressures coming through, different organizations finding ways to thrive. And the weird thing in this, and this is where I think we're really privileged in Asia, is that we've got this mindset of also that in crisis there is opportunity, which is where, you know, when things started happening, I went, okay, suddenly I have all this free time. How am I going to put that into good use? How can I show up and be supportive and useful for other people?
Mm.
Which is why I sat down and wrote the book, because it was like, okay, it's not my first rodeo. What are the things that I found powerful? You know, I use the language of karma because it's a language and style that is valid in this part of the world. But everything in there is based on hardcore science and business.
So where do we start? First of all, how do we stay calm? That's got to be the first thing, because many of us, you know, we look at our monthly spend, our monthly bills. We're like, okay, it's great to say be calm, but the reality is the light bill has to get paid, you know, by the 30th of the month. Otherwise, I'm going to be in trouble. How do we stay calm through this first? Let's start with that one.
Construct-wise, I mean, the first part's going like, how do we like just acknowledge and deal with the fear that's in there? I mean, one of the weird things is just checking with everybody who's here watching this and on the chat, is anybody a robot? Because this does not work if you're a robot.
Oh.
This only works for like live living human beings.
I was just looking at the chat. I'm like, wait, I don't think we have any robots on, but let me check.
Yeah, just check. Look, I do a whole bunch of work with the chartered professional accountants. And we have a bit of a check-in. It's like, okay, so everybody thinks that we've got no emotions and humanity. Mm. Just checking, you know, if I pinch, will you go and respond? They go, yeah, pretty much sure. And the thing is, we're human beings, and our bodies go into reaction mode on things. So part of the first one is going, our first sets of reaction, we go into fear, fight, flight, that kind of whole bundle of our bodies going, and just accepting, yeah, that's true. We're human beings. This is what's going to happen. So then how do we deal with it? How do we move from the fear, you know, up a layer into the fact that it's overwhelm, it's a lot going on, the rules that we had don't work, so what do? The judgments, which is a sort of a lower form of fear, but still pretty scary if you're in any kind of business. Will it work? And then into that space of frantic, of, oh, my God, I got to do da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And even as you can see, that movement kind of loses actually effectiveness. So the first really practical piece here is, you know, I just invite anybody who's here just to notice this. There is no saber-toothed tiger about to attack you right in this very moment. Okay, so what happens is our body goes into fear. And yep. It's kind of going like, oh, we learned to survive on the savannah because we're under attack. And we've learned to respond. I mean, you know, look, I'm an A-type personality. I got addicted to adrenaline like many, many corporate types.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun. But in this sort of situation, it doesn't add any value because that floods my ability to think calmly and creatively. And in times like this, it's not going to be the obvious solution that works. So, I mean, I literally have this little practice. It's like, okay, I noticed that whole fear piece happening. It's going, like, where's my saber-toothed tiger? I take a look around and I go, actually really short on saber-toothed tigers. Maybe I could just calm down a bit.
But isn't the saber-toothed tiger for a lot of people, you know,
breaths?
making their numbers this month, or, you know, paying their salary, their staff, or finding a new job if they've been retrenched? I mean, individually, there could be quite a number of tigers out there just lurking, some in plain sight.
Yeah. Well, okay. So this is the key distinction is, so the saber-toothed tiger, all of that's a worry about something that could happen a couple of days, a couple of weeks, or even maybe tomorrow if we've got bills to pay. I mean, it's the first of the month. There'll be a whole lot of bills that would have been due yesterday, right?
Sure.
So, I mean, like this is super pragmatic. So, I mean, the first piece I found is that when we recognize that we're going into the fear place and that overwhelmed place and the frantic place, is just make conscious active decisions to choose not to stay in that place, because we're not going to be able to be productive. We're not going to be able to be effective.
So change the mindset away from one of fear to one of action. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
Yeah. And the first action is actually to go and get calm as opposed to being frantic, because there's a lot of us have been very programmed into, you know, the busy, busy, busy. But the busy, busy, busy is based on all the old rules. So the it's choose decision to go into calm so that you can actually move into that space out of fear to actually start operating and creativity. Because creativity is where we can start coming up with different sorts of ideas to be able to approach and do something.
Right.
So it's a little bit different.
Sure. So
one of the weird things right now is I am pretty sure every one of us is going to survive. One of the weird things, there's so many different ways of dealing with any problem that we have in front of us. In the business world or even in the personal world, one of the pieces I do is I look at and I go, say if I've got a $10 million business, you know, sort of a small to medium size. Now, when I'm, you know, if you're a unicorn or a multi-billion dollar business, just go add zeros to the maths here. It'll work out too.
Mm.
So you take it and you look at it and you go, okay, so in a $10 million business, each week has a particular value. It's my ability to respond and be agile and creative and adapt. And that value in a $10 million business is $250,000. So how can I be calm and effective and productive so that I can be in a place that's creating $250,000?
Okay.
And that may be adjusting relationships. That may be adjusting what we're delivering. It may be adjusting what we do. It may be going back and looking at our business governance and looking at what are our real goals and visions. Times like these can be amazingly creative times for businesses, because there's two types of businesses in personal lives right now. Those that are feeling like under massive threat, you know, the old space, and those that are going, I'm stressed. But I'm not under a super short cash flow one. And if you've got a bit of a runway on your cash flow, if you've got 6 weeks, you can do a lot in 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you've got 12 weeks, you can do an amazing amount. If you're a business that has 6 months, you can completely reinvent and transform yourself ahead of the curve to be something else. Now, even if you're in that space of fear and going like, oh, my God, I'm feeling like I'm in that 1 week survival spot down into a 1 day one.
Right.
if I go out in that fear space and ask for support and help, I'm not going to get the yes. But if I go out in the calm, finding a creative solution, like, for example, yesterday I was working with an entrepreneur and we're looking at a business proposition that she's taking to market. And, you know, 9 months ago, it made lots of sense. The meaning of it and the purpose of it still makes incredible sense right now, but the economics of it have shifted.
Interesting.
And so the deeper question we were looking at, and this is true for us in our personal lives, is what, you know, if the meaning and the purpose of this is still valid, and I still believe and I can stay committed to it. I mean, sometimes, okay, look, Singapore's great. We can go eat chicken rice, $3.50 down at the Hawker Center. You know, it doesn't have to be, you can live really nicely in Singapore and it does not have to be expensive.
We're speaking with Joanne Flynn, CEO and founder
of Unicorning. $35, you could eat for the week.
Right. CEO and founder of Unicorning, also the author of Karma, How to Stay Calm and Productive Through Coronavirus to the Recovery. And let's move into this productivity. You know, we talked about staying calm. We got to make sure we do that. How do we maximize our productivity in a time when there's much uncertainty around us? For example, we don't know, you know, what the future is going to look like, how long things are going to be locked down, will another wave come? So how do we then plan for an uncertain future? What does your book say about that?
So what the book says about that is take that step into what's the bigger goal that you're after. You know, if you that could be your mission, your vision, your personal purpose, you know, in the personal life, things around your family. And then get super, super pragmatic and go, what is one thing I can do this week or this month or in this day? Small steps. What's one thing I can do that progresses that somehow? Because in all this noise and turbulence, one of the things that I learned very, very early on, okay, you know, back as a kid, I lived through 5 coups, 2 assassinations, and a couple of revolutions by the time I was 8.
I assume you weren't responsible for any of those.
At the same time, you know, I mean, like you know, if you're talking, I like to say, you know, innocent halo for all that. But one of the things it taught me was a massive amount of resilience. Now, at the same time, my father, who was the reason why I was in these exciting places, and no, he was not in witness protection. He just, you know, had a good sense of adventure. He was working with a group of people to create what's called the Green Revolution. So all this is happening. There's so much, think about that. There's so much noise going on in that world. We're in a karma world. Generally, we're not being shot at. But their vision was, how do we feed the world? And so they go, okay, what can we do now that will help progress that vision? What can we do now that will help progress that vision? And instead of it taking 3 generations, which is what they thought, it took them less than 1. Now, that's like a world, super big world-changing idea. Like our lives, it's just like, what's the important stuff? What's one thing can you do today? Do it. Hey, if you've got a bit more energy, go for it. Do a second. It can be, and that creates super productivity. 1% improvements for the math-minded here, 1% improvement compounded over 72 days is 100%. That's pretty good gain.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I want to mention that we've got a few friends on Facebook Live watching. Wendy Tan is there, and her comment was, we don't make the best decisions when we are in fear. Shayan Yao is saying we sometimes need to face the tiger and not run, or else we get paralyzed in fear. I think that's a really good point. And Cheryl Liu is talking about we have to make deliberate choices. So there are a number of folks out there, I think this is resonating with them in terms of when you're talking about how to deal with this uncertainty going forward. What do you think is a first logical step for folks, you know, after they realize their fear and they kind of hopefully put the fear to the side, where do we go next if they want to start getting ahead of this planning and this idea of working for this uncertain future?
So the third step in this. And so you've made the choice to make a decision, which is pretty good. I mean, some people just decide not to decide, which is still a decision and that doesn't make a lot of progress. But at times, that pause is super valid. So next one here is none of us actually operate alone. And so it's then working out, okay, so I have a decision I want to go for and make. How am I going to connect and work with all the other people in my life, in my business, my customers and my suppliers to move this decision forward? And so it gets into, I use the language of how do we team? How do we collaborate? How do we partner? This is where the old world view that for anybody who kind of has been in the sort of the Gordon Gekko, you know, might makes right, you know, the power, you know, the jungle type thing. They're missing the point that an awful lot of the jungle is very collaborative. And in times like this, it's the collaborations, it's the mutual support. You know, the Guanzi is what helps us move forward. So it's the key, it's one of the super important things to look after. Like early on in this one with karma, it was like who can I go support? Who needs help? You know, I've got a roof over my head, I can put food on the table. And yeah, you know, I mean, $3 chicken rice, awesome stuff. My ego, if I can drop my ego and how I think I'm meant to look and show up and be helpful, it's amazing what else is going to happen.
Yeah.
And I say that because the logical mind kind of in corporate wants to get into busy and show me the numbers. But what I've seen in every one of these big crises, and, you know, this is included when I was with PricewaterhouseCoopers doing projects for Citibank. We had to work, how do we keep the relationship so we could keep doing good? And then the cash flowed. If we started focusing on the cash flow and got scared on the relationships, we had nothing that would move forward. And so as counterintuitive as it is in the business world, you know, the really firm one is go into teams, find who you can get out and support. And it's amazing how other people go, thank you, I can breathe now, I'm calm, I can help you. Yeah. And then you get into the good virtuous cycle. And that creates acceleration, a lot more fun, you know, and cool results. Now, that's why it's a unicorn, is because when you start doing stuff that's counter the lag and get into leaning into pieces, it's amazing how fast things will create. And like business results, hardcore numbers.
And that's what I think many of our listeners are looking for. Got to keep those results and those clear numbers in mind. Joanne Flynn, CEO and founder of Unicorning. Joanne, how do people find you if they want to get in touch for more information or questions to you?
Super easy. Two very, very practical channels. Joanne@joanneflynn.com. But please spell mine with an I. It's Flynn with an I, just to be different. And okay. Secondly, of course, there's always the beautiful thing called LinkedIn, which is a very, very easy way to find. And anybody who does, if you reach out and say that you were on Glenn's show, and I will go and send you a copy of Karma. Glenn, thank you very much for having me, and keep doing the amazing things you're doing in the world.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.